everybody. Listen up. Dr. Dahlia here. How many of us need an act of Congress just to take a poop? Well, filibuster no more. We have Squatty Potty. Squatty Potty helps us eliminate by allowing our colon to reach proper alignment naturally. It reduces straining and therefore hemorrhoids, and we don't want those now, do we? No installation is necessary, and the Squatty Potty easily aligns with your existing toilet. You'll enjoy faster, cleaner bathroom visits all by using Squatty Potty to recreate what humans have done for years before modern man invented uncomfortable toilets. I've used Squatty Potty myself and love it, and they come in multiple shapes and sizes. To learn more about Squatty Potty, go to their website today at SquattyPottyStore.com. That's SquattyPottyStore.com. I promise you'll love it. Remember, healthy colon means happy life.
This year alone, 1 in 3 Americans will experience a mental health issue. When coping with life's challenging situations of all kinds, it is important to get the right kind of help. GoodTherapy.org is your advocate and resource for finding the right therapist. GoodTherapy.org is an association of thousands of therapists who value collaborative therapy and believe their clients have the power to tap into their own internal resources. Each GoodTherapy.org therapist is individually verified for adherence to strict educational, licensure, and philosophical guidelines. GoodTherapy.org is more than just a therapist directory. As part of its mission and vision to educate consumers about the differences between healthy and unhealthy therapy, GoodTherapy.org provides a wealth of resources about the process of therapy and mental health-related blogs, news, and expert articles. If you or somebody you know needs help, would like to find a therapist, or would like information about mental health, visit www.goodtherapy.org, because everybody deserves to feel good.
This is Mental Health Exposed on Natural News Radio with Mike Bundrant.
Welcome to Mental Health Exposed. You're listening to Natural News Radio. I'm your host, Mike Bundrant. It's great to be here with you today. Our guest on the show today is James Twyman, filmmaker, musician, and author. He's at jamestwyman.com, and he's here. He was just on the show a couple of weeks ago, but he's back because he is making a very important trip, and we're going to have him talk about this, and we need your help in order to join in a peacemaking process that he's involved in. And when he's on, I'm going to have him tell us all about it. August 15th is the date. You don't need to leave your homes. It's just a certain thing that he's inviting as many people as possible to do in order to make his trip successful, and has to do with meditating on peace at a certain time, gathering a whole group of people from around the world together to do so. And it's a great thing to do, and I'll be welcoming James here in just a few minutes. Again, our thanks go out to Natural News Radio for making the show possible. If you haven't signed up for the email alerts at naturalnewsradio.com, do so. There's a daily email that goes out that gives you a rundown of all the shows on Natural News Radio. I think there are 11 shows now. There's over 1 million downloads a month. This is a very popular radio network. And you get an email every day. Some shows are daily, some shows are weekly, but you get an email every day to find out who's on, what topics are being discussed. You can download, you can listen to the shows as they play in the rotation live on naturalnewsradio.com, or you can download the episodes going all the way back to the beginning on the archive page for each show. But sign up for that email list. We invite you to do that. The other thing I want to remind you to do, go to the INLPcenter.com and watch our free video called The Aha Process, How to End Self-Sabotage. If you go to INLPcenter.com, put your email address in the upper left or wherever you see the form on that site, and you'll be instantly directed to a 20-minute video that explains self-sabotage. And I think self-sabotage is the primary obstacle in our way, both individually, in our families, communities, and among the nations. Self-sabotage, that tendency we all have to do the opposite of what would bring happiness, fulfillment, and peace. we all need to learn about this, and we've distilled down how it is that it happens, and many times in ways that we don't even recognize, and yet we still get these negative results. We need to learn about this, and we've presented a very clear and simple video on how it happens, why it happens, and what you can do about it at the INLPcenter.com. Another interesting development is that Natural News, naturalnews.com, has a blog site available now called blogs.naturalnews.com. You can even get your own blog at blogs.naturalnews.com. It's not automatic acceptance. You actually have to apply. Someone will review your application, and you may be approved to have your own blog, in which case you'll be a writer for naturalnews.com that has over 5 million unique visitors a month, 412,000 subscribers to the newsletter. This site is a monster in terms of traffic. The number one natural health related website in the world. So check out blogs.naturalnews.com. Even if you don't want to write, check out what some of the bloggers are saying over there. It's brand new, just announced this week. I'll be still writing for naturalnews.com, but I have a blog at blogs.naturalnews.com, and I'll be making some contributions over there as well. So without further ado, I want to bring on James Twyman. We're going to talk a little bit about what he has going on. Again, for more information, go to jamestwyman.com, but he'll be with us here in just a moment. My first guest on the show, author, musician, and filmmaker James Twyman. You can find James at jamestwyman.com. That's T-W-Y-M-A-N. He is the Peace Troubadour. And James is here to talk about his missions of peace around the world. He is preparing for a trip, a peace mission to Syria and Egypt coming up. And I'm very interested, James, in what you're doing and what impact it's making. Welcome back to Mental Health Exposed.
It's great to be back. Thank you for having me on the program again.
Now, why do you call yourself the Peace Troubadour? I know you're a musician, right?
Yeah. It was a name that was given to me, actually. What happened was, almost 20 years ago now, it's amazing. I had an experience that really changed my life. A friend of mine gave me a sheet of paper that had on it the peace prayers from the 12 major religions of the world. Mm. And as I began to read each one, I think the Hindu prayer was the first, I began to hear music, actually, and I wasn't really sure if the music was coming from the next room or somewhere within me. But what I did was I picked up my guitar and just began to play along. And I'd always been a musician, but something really unique happened, because within 1 hour I had put all 12 of those prayers to music.
Wow.
So I'd written 12 songs, and they were beautiful. They were probably the best songs I'd ever written. And I knew that it was a gift, and I knew that it wasn't meant just for me. And I just wanted to share them, and I at first started just traveling around, and I was penniless at the time, but I just traveled to wherever anyone wanted to listen to these prayers and shared them, and that's when I was given that title. Someone just said, "Oh, you're the Peace Troubadour," and I said, "Oh, that has a nice ring to it."
Yeah.
And before long, I started getting invited to countries where wars and conflicts were raging, and then it just kind of amplified from there.
You didn't know this, but while we're talking, I'm just checking out your site. You have a music tab, and I see the 12 Prayers CD. So you made a CD mm-hmm. out of this. That's nice.
Absolutely. Yeah. Actually, that's a free download. I have several CDs of the Peace Prayers, but a few years ago we did a really beautiful recording with some amazing musicians, because I really felt these prayers needed the best presentation possible. Because I think they're important. So often we use religion as a way of separating and showing our differences, and this is a way that we can see that in the end we really want the same thing, and every religion has a peace prayer. So we produced this CD, and it's actually a free download. People can go to jamestwyman.com, and if they just look for the music tab, they can download the entire CD as a gift.
Yeah, see a little button, click here to download the music. And you don't even have to pay a toll. That's nice. So tell me about your upcoming trip that you have.
Well, obviously, we all know that the situation in Syria in particular is dire with the civil war that's going on there. Also in Egypt with the unrest. And as I said before, I began getting invitations years ago to start traveling to countries like that. First in Bosnia and Croatia during the war there, and then even more exciting situations like being invited by Saddam Hussein to Baghdad at the same time that we were beginning a bombing campaign, or were anticipating that anyway.
Yeah.
And that was the first time that we did something which we're continuing. This was back in 1998, and you know, back then it's hard to remember that most of us didn't even have email accounts. The internet is not what it is today.
Right.
And but my agent had like 300 people on the list, and so she sent an email to all of those people saying, "Why don't you stop whatever you're doing at this time? And because this is the time he's doing the concert in Baghdad, and just focus your prayers of peace onto that situation." And little did I know at the time that that email went viral. And by the time that concert happened, there were millions of people who stopped, and they were just simply focusing their prayerful intentions on that situation. And I could actually feel it. I don't, maybe it was my imagination, but it felt as if something were happening. And all I know for sure is that before that happened, there didn't seem to be any possibility of avoiding another war or conflict. But something seemed to shift, and 3 days later, Kofi Annan arrived, and a peace accord was signed. And at least at that time, no bombs fell, and no one was killed. And it wasn't just that one time. I've seen this happen again and again. Every time that we have called masses of people together to focus their intentions, I've seen miracles happen. In fact, probably the most brilliant one was, I think it was maybe a year later when things once again ignited in Iraq. We repeated this, and we asked people to send their prayers at a certain time, and little did we know at the time that there was actually the fighter jets and the bombers were in the air, ready to begin the bombing mission. And everything was set to go, and no one to this day knows why, but President Clinton ordered the planes back, and then an hour later sent them up again, and then gave a stand-down order once again. And it turned out that happened at the exact same time that this prayer vigil was happening. And maybe it was a coincidence, maybe it wasn't, but when you see this happen over and over again, it makes you start to think that there's a power or an energy that we don't understand when massive numbers of people stop and focus on something. And you could call it a lot of things. I'm calling it prayer in this instance, but it's just energy, really. And so that's what we're doing for Syria and Egypt, is we're going to be calling people together once again to simply focus their prayers of peace and their energy, or whatever you want to call it, on those situations.
Now, I have several questions that come to mind, and a couple of experiences that I want to tell you about. But first, on this trip, tell me when your upcoming trip is, and then what can people do in order to support it?
Well, we're going to be, I'm traveling to Israel with a small group of people, because we're going to use that as our base, since Israel borders both countries. And so the vigil for Syria will be on August 15th, and then the vigil for Egypt will be on the 18th. And, for example, when we go to do the one for Syria, what we're doing is there is a village that is a Syrian village right on the border of Israel. In fact, during the seven-year war, this town was cut in half. Half of it is in Syria, the other half is in Israel. And there is a hill in this town called Shouting Hill. And what people do from the town is they go up to the top of this hill with their megaphones, and they shout back and forth to their relatives who they can't speak to in any other way on the other side of the border. So we're going to be doing the peace concert from that spot. There'll be leaders from different religions who will be joining us, and then the same thing in Egypt. And so what we're asking people to do is to go to my website, jamestwyman.com, and just to register so that we can make sure that we send you emails and with the time, because we don't exactly know the time quite yet, so we need to get on the ground, and we'll send out an email to everyone. But the other thing, Mike, is that we want this to be not only mobilized for Syria and Egypt, but my intention is to have 100,000 people who at any given time that we can call on when a world crisis arises. So if something happened in Iran or wherever it might be, we can send out an email to those people and say, let's come together on Tuesday. You don't need to do anything other than stop what you're doing right now for 10 minutes and just focus and send your energy to this situation. So that really is my intention, because as I said, I've seen this work, and it's almost undeniable, at least to me, that there is an energy and something happens when thousands of people stop and just simply focus their attention and energy.
Yeah, and you know, even this is sort of brings to mind a couple of my experiences, but first, we go to jamestwyman.com. I see a button on the right that says email sign up. Sign up for that list, and then we'll be notified of, you know, what we can do in order to contribute to the effort right from our own homes, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, that's great.
So simple.
Now, look, I want to run something by you because I have, I want to run two experiences by you. Because recently I approached this idea of sort of making things right in the world in the exact wrong way, and I, you know, they're in the personal development field, there are people, in my view, that are shysters, that are taking advantage of people, that are making these wild false promises in order to sell programs and get naive or unsuspecting or power hungry people in order to, in the field of NLP, it sometimes it's a little bit worse. I mean, there one gentleman in particular sort of telling people, you know, learn how you can take total and complete control of another person's mind and body and force them to do acts against their will that violate their moral code and become
oh my God.
In big bold red headlines, learn how you can do this. And
he actually advertises in that way. Wow.
I got to tell you, you wouldn't believe the big bold red headlines. Learn how to turn other people into your very own hypno spies so that they will do your will and you will have complete control of their mind and body. I mean, it's unbelievable. And when I saw this, a friend of mine, a colleague, alerted me to it. So what I did in order to fight this is I wrote an article about it and said, stay away from these slime balls. I mean, it's unbelievable what they're saying. Well, the head guy that's promoting it came on my site and with a Facebook post and said, hey, everybody, this is my course. And Mike, I can't believe that you don't know anything what you're talking about. And if you want to learn some basic, you know, communication skills because you don't have any, come talk to me. And then some of his supporters came online and started to defend him. And the barrage of criticism toward me was unbelievable. And so I engaged and fought back. And it just has turned into a mess. And this is recent for me. And so it bothered me. I was stressed out. I got snappy with my kids once for no reason because it's just sort of churning in the back of my mind. And I can't believe where these people are coming from. I just, you know, it's really hard to believe that this kind of thing is going on, and that if you point it out and say, hey, everybody, this is wrong, you know, this is, you know, not something that's cool to do, they come back with a vengeance. And then I want to take them down, and so it starts a war of words. And I think that's just, you know, the absolute wrong way to go about it, and I got hooked and so forth, and it's no fun for me, and it's not doing any good. In fact, it's even fueling the other side.
Right.
They're more convinced than ever that, you know, what they're doing is right and even a good and virtuous thing of all things. How do you go from making those claims to saying we were really good people here? I don't know. And I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm just saying their claims are just absurd.
You know, it's funny, Mike, because you're describing how religious wars ignite, because it really is the exact same dynamic. something, claims are being made in the name of some higher energy or power, however you want to describe that. And when it's like when someone comes up against that or goes up against that, the energy builds because I'm right, you're wrong, and I'm going to prove it. And if you don't like that, well, then we're going to go to war over this. And you're in a kind of war right now. And it's exactly horrible. What happens. And it's really why, as I was describing these peace prayers before, why I think that they're important. Because a better tactic is always, let's start where we agree rather than where we don't agree. And it's hard to do in a situation like what you just described, because it is so obvious that it's crazy or that it's misguided at the very least. And so we want to step forward. We want to be the good guy and to say, look at this, everyone. But I'm wondering what, if I'm sure you're probably examining this yourself, after all of this, how could you have done the same thing but in a way that they could have heard you?
Yeah, and that's a great question. I'm not sure that I know the answer to it. My sense is that to just not go there. Mm-hmm. My sense would be to, that the very best thing, as I felt about it the last couple of days, is like, well, the very best thing is to do what I do and try to make a positive contribution to the world, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. keep my energy focus there, because I don't know. In other words, if I go to them and say, well, hey guys, I don't know. I don't even know. It's a good question, but my sense is that I'm going to make my positive contribution to the world and let in this case where there is an urgency. I mean. It's not a military situation where people's lives are in danger or what have you, but it's and I am in the same general community as them, and so if I put out just positive things with the intention of helping people, then that will have the impact that it has.
Is a balance, isn't it? Because I think of Gandhi, and Gandhi could very easily have said, this is really kind of turning out, not exactly the direction I wanted. Maybe I should stop. But he didn't do that. He saw injustice. He continued moving forward. But he did so with an energy of, which was really unique, of course, which is that he knew that in the end, this was, it was just as good for the British Empire to realize the injustice that they are committing as it is for the people who this injustice is being focused on. For it to stop, and so he had this altruistic energy behind all of his action, but he didn't back down from injustice or from evil. He just simply moved forward in a very positive way, and so I want to encourage you to not necessarily back down, because I don't think there's anything wrong with what you did, but as I said before, there may be another way that you can do it that will have more positive results by simply mirroring back to them what it is that their intention is, which is to control, to manipulate, and I guess you could even say do evil, because it sounds like that's what the focus is.
It sounds like they're proud of it, that this is about having power, and we got it, and we're going to teach you how to get it. And so, I agree 100%, which reminds me of the second experience that I had, where that involves, and we're going to have to take a break here for just a second. So I'm going to tell you about the second experience. We're going to come back right after this commercial break with James Twyman.
You're listening to Mental Health Exposed with Mike Bundren on National News Radio.
Millions of people are suffering from constipation and hemorrhoids. Are you one of them? Hello, I'm Dr. Roger Sidaway, and as a gastroenterologist, I've been telling my patients for years that in order to keep things moving, you need to eat fiber, drink plenty of water, and exercise. Now I tell my patients to elevate their knees above their waist with the squatty potty footstool when they go. Here's why. Anatomically, humans were designed to squat, but then we started sitting, and sitting brought on problems like constipation and hemorrhoids. So the real problem is how we sit. That's why I recommend the squatty potty. The squatty potty is so simple because it helps you elevate your knees while enjoying the comfort of your own toilet. Plus, the squatty potty is for everyone, not only those with problems. I recommend it for the entire family. In fact, my family uses it. Take a step in caring for your health by finding out more at mysquattypotty.com. It just may change your life.
This year alone, 1 in 3 Americans will experience a mental health issue. When coping with life's challenging situations of all kinds, it is important to get the right kind of help. GoodTherapy.org is your advocate and resource for finding the right therapist. GoodTherapy.org is an association of thousands of therapists who value collaborative therapy and believe their clients have the power to tap into their own internal resources. Each GoodTherapy.org therapist is individually verified for adherence to strict educational, licensure, and philosophical guidelines. GoodTherapy.org is more than just a therapist directory. As part of its mission and vision to educate consumers about the differences between healthy and unhealthy therapy, GoodTherapy.org provides a wealth of resources about the process of therapy and mental health-related blogs, news, and expert articles. If you or somebody you know needs help, would like to find a therapist, or would like information about mental health, visit www.goodtherapy.org because everybody deserves to feel good. Mental Health Exposed is brought to you by the INLP Center. The INLP Center is a personal development website which offers NLP training and personal growth courses all online. Mike and I are proud to announce our newest program, the AHA Solution. Many of us suffer from self-sabotage, which is doing things that get in the way of the changes we want. Even though we want to change, we just can't help but do things that work against it. Some call it a lack of self-discipline, but we call it an attachment. The AHA Solution is a unique personal change program that teaches you how to recognize your specific self-sabotaging attachment and quickly find a solution to turn it around to achieve the goals you desire. It's really an amazing process. This program gives you real-life examples and tools that guide you through this process of change. With this program, you'll learn to free yourself from negative thoughts and feelings at last. This program is completely online and includes 13 videos, 12 attachment types, worksheets, and an attachment list. Plus, right now, we are including our 5 other personal development courses along with it. Visit INLPCenter.com. That's INLPCenter.com. Stop getting in your own way of success and make those changes today.
Okay, we're back with James Twyman. James, the second experience I had is in a realm of energy healing and energy medicine where I'm getting involved with a group of people who are literally helping to create change, physical change, in other people by accessing a state of deep love and then transferring positive energy to the other person. So their emotional state changes, even things that I've verified independently, physical changes in their body that comes about through accessing a more universal, loving energy and transferring it. And people's negative emotions tend to go away. Again, physical changes that you can actually measure, alignments in their body that you can actually measure, tend to realign. And there just seems to be such a powerful force that nobody can explain, and I can't. Even though I watch it right in front of my eyes, I can't necessarily explain it. I recently interviewed Richard Gordon, the developer of Quantum Touch, and he's got story after story after story of these documented sort of before and after changes that happen as a result of accessing this more loving energy. And it's so subtle. And it's so powerful. And to me, that reminds me of what you're doing. You're going into these troubled areas of the world and you're creating a sacred space, filling it with love and letting love do its work. And to me, I can't think of a downside to that way of approaching it. To me, that's the right way to go about this, right?
I totally agree, and like you, I've seen it work. I gave a couple of examples, and there's so many more of what happens when massive numbers of people do exactly what you just described, which is to send their loving intent or their loving energy into a world situation, which is really no different than sending it to a person. It's a larger context, but it follows the same laws. And like you, I don't know how it works, and we don't really need to know how it works. It's just pretty amazing that it does work. And, you know, people can say that we're crazy and that the idea of having thousands of people send positive energy to a situation for 10 minutes is that would be crazy to think that would have an effect. But like you said, what's the downside? At the very least, it's going to increase the positive energy in all the people involved. And if on the off chance, it really could, you know, affect things in a situation like Syria or Egypt, why not try? Why not bring people together for such a positive thing? You know, you were talking before about how in this personal growth field, there's so many people who are just really out for themselves, and I couldn't agree with you more. Back, you know, when I first got involved in this field 20 years ago or so, it was very different. There was a lot of excitement and enthusiasm, and people were just opening up in exciting new ways. And then, you know, it seemed to shift, I don't know, a few years ago when it became about how do we use this energy, this spirituality, whatever we want to call it, to get more stuff. And yeah. It became about attracting goods rather than goodness.
Spiritual and materialism now we're talking
exactly.
about. Exactly. Yeah.
And you know, I think a lot of it was a little movie that came out a few years ago called The Secret.
Uh-oh.
And yeah, the idea that a lot of people took away from that movie is that the level of your spirituality is based on what you have, not who you are. And it really couldn't be, you know, more false. But people have been buying this, and it's just become a shopping mall now. And that's why I'm excited for this vigil, because there's nothing to buy, there's nothing to, you know, there's no course that you have to purchase. We just want to bring people together to have a true effect on world situations. And maybe this is what we need, more experiences and more examples like this to bring us back to the reason that we started this work in the first place. And it's not just to have a better car or a bigger house. I mean, that couldn't be it. But to realize that we were born at this time for some reason, and it's not just for me, it's for all of us, is to bring humanity to the next level of its own evolution.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. It's about giving something away. And I guarantee when we spend our 10 minutes sending our energy to your circle in Syria and Egypt, as we give that energy away, we're going to feel good. I mean,
yep.
You know, we get by giving at that level.
Mm-hmm.
We get, and so it, again, no downside to it. But you know, when I don't want to start bashing The Secret because it would be too easy to do. But you know, when I watch that movie and you see these dollar bills flying through the air, and they're sort of encouraging you to intend that check show up in the mailbox tomorrow, and so forth, it does. You know, it's attempt to me that approach to it is attempting to hijack that spiritual energy and turning it, you know, it taps into your greed.
But, you know, I will tell you a funny story that you'll enjoy.
Yeah.
So when I first saw that, I had the same response. And immediately what I wanted to do was to bring the whole law of attraction discussion back to the soul and away from the ego. Because in my opinion, what The Secret was doing is the ego's law of attraction.
Uh-huh.
And it really is about the soul. That's where the real energy is. So I wrote a book called The Moses Code, And we ended up wanting to make a movie as well, kind of like The Secret, but a movie that would be a bit deeper. And so I spent a year working on that film, and I showed it when it was finished to a few people. And when they when they watched it, they all kind of looked at me, and I said, "What did you think?" And they said, "It's okay."
Huh.
I thought, "Oh, great! A year of my work, and it's okay."
Wow!
But there was one guy who said, he's a filmmaker as well. He said, "You know, I haven't had 2 weeks off in years, but I don't have anything going on for the next 2 weeks. And if you want, you and I could work day and night for the next 2 weeks. And I promise you that if we did that, we could make something out of this that's brilliant." And it was a very hard decision, but I said yes. And we did. I mean, if we had known what we were going to actually do, we would never have thought it was possible, because in that 2 weeks, we ended up reshooting 70% of the film.
Wow.
We re-edited 100%, rescored 100%. And in the end, the Moses Code movie was, I thought, beautiful. And it did. It brought the discussion back to the soul. And the funny thing is that the guy who did that with me was the director of The Secret, Drew Harriet.
Really?
Yeah, and so he knew that the discussion that he started with that film was not over. He just didn't have any way of continuing it, and when the Moses Code came along, he said, "Let's go for it," and it wouldn't have happened without him.
So this is like the real secret.
That's the way I think of it, yeah.
Well, give me the lowdown. I mean, can you put it in a nutshell? What the how is it?
Sure.
How does it differ? I mean, other than the it focuses on the soul, but what's, say more.
Well, the reason we call it the Moses Code is that it goes back to the story of Moses at the burning bush, when Moses asks God, "What is your name?" And God says, "I am that I am." And so this line, "I am that," the law of attraction, according to the ego, is "I want that," which is really saying I don't have that, and I can use energy, whatever, however you want to, in order to get something I don't have. What the soul wants to manifest is not goods but goodness, as I said before, and all of the things that the soul is yearning for is already within us. So whether it be peace or love or harmony, when we project that into the world or into our lives by saying, "I am that," then it's like it unlocks that door so that innate quality that's within us already can become manifest. And then, of course, everything else comes to us naturally. Like Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added unto you." When we seek to unleash what is already within us by claiming through the name of God, "I am that," then it comes out automatically and everything we need is attracted to us. To me, that's the law of attraction from the soul's perspective.
So it's sort of it's becoming more of who you are, mm-hmm. expanding your sense of identity. And I like the way you said everything we need is attracted to us, because the word "need" is, to me, the operative word there. Not everything I want,
mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, if you think of, you know, I want everything that I want, and if I don't get it, then, I mean, that's pretty immature.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
One of the signs of maturity is you let go of the idea that you're going to get everything you want. You're not going to get mm-hmm. everything you want, and that's just...
But we get what we need.
But we get what we need. In fact, it's not that difficult to get what we need, you know, when we're clear about that. Well, I appreciate that perspective. You know, when we talk about, you know, the expectation that I should have everything I want is mm-hmm. a massive setup. In order to, I mean, in our work, we talk about psychological attachments and how we keep being attracted again and again and again to the very things mm-hmm. that make us unhappy, and underlying that are attachments to feelings of, say, helplessness and betrayal and worthlessness and so on and so forth. And we keep finding ways unconsciously to return to that place, and those feelings can mm-hmm. stay with us for a lifetime. And just starting out, to me, with the intention of that, I want more, I want all of these things, or I want more power, I mean, that's off to me, that's often a setup and is fed by an underlying feeling of helplessness, and we should deal with that helplessness. We should deal with our vulnerability and accept it, and we can let go of so much that, again, are just, you know, they're just a setup to go and try to get something that you're either not going to get, or when you get it, it's not going to give you what you thought it would.
That's right.
And either way, you end up in that old familiar place, and it just feeds that negative attachment. And so it's kind of a vicious cycle there. Your approach.
You know, there's a excuse me for interrupting, but there is a song that I sing in almost every concert that I do, and the words come from a prayer from Mother Teresa, where she says, for example, when I am hungry, give me someone that I can feed. When I am thirsty, give me someone that I can give a drink to. When I am cold, give me someone to keep warm. So this idea of being the source of that which we think that we want or need. We can't give something away unless we have it. And once again, we're talking primarily about these deeper qualities of the soul. That if I'm in need of understanding, if I'm in need of compassion or love or whatever it may be the source of that to someone else. And a miracle happens. You realize that you had it all along. And this is what the soul is always yearning to realize, that everything you need is already within you. But you cannot know that unless you become the source of that to another. So that's really what the Moses Code is all about. That statement, I am that. You know, it's already here. I just need to give it away.
You know, and that is true power. I mean, that's really powerful, because you realize you don't have, you've already got it. And that, but you're not seeking power. You're not seeking more for yourself. You're just returning to a certain place within yourself where you've already... I mean, that's real power. And who can argue? Mother Teresa was one of the most powerful people that the world has ever known, in terms of both in terms of recognizability, authentic power. That is authentic. Mm-hmm. That is authentic power. And there's a paradox there, because you're not seeking power. But you are really powerful.
Yeah, exactly. And she's such a beautiful example of that. And the other thing that's interesting with people like Mother Teresa and others who have that authentic power, the more powerful they become in an authentic way, the more humble they become, which is very different from inauthentic power, which is the more power you have, the more, whatever the opposite of humble would be, just the more grandiose you become.
Right.
And, you know, I think of someone like James Arthur Ray from The Secret, who, you know, he just was released from prison after being there for,
I don't know,
a couple of years.
I didn't know he was out now.
Yeah, he just was released a week or so ago.
Ah.
And, you know, this is someone who, you know, had a really very good message, at least in some level. And yet he was seduced by his own accomplishments and his own fame, and next thing you know he's acting like God, and next thing you know a tragedy occurs because he lost that humility. And you don't see that in people like Mother Teresa or Gandhi or Dalai Lama. These are the people who have true power, because they're leading massive numbers of people back to their own souls.
They're empowering others.
Exactly.
What they're doing. It's funny because, you know, it seems like, you know, the more power you seek, also the less satisfied you become.
Yeah.
The more you realize you don't have, the more, and again, it's just massive setup.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a massive setup, a deeply unconscious setup that leads you right into feeling powerless and helpless and dissatisfied and deprived. It's such a perfect paradox in that way.
Well, that's why The Secret really doesn't work.
Right.
And that's something that I've said over and over again. Even when you think it works, it doesn't work. Because when you're focused outside of yourself, thinking, I don't have this, and somehow if I could get this, my life would be different. If I had the right relationship, the right house, or whatever it might be, a better job, then everything will be okay. But it's kind of like getting a car. You know, you get that beautiful car, you've been focusing on it, and you've got that new car smell. But after a little while, it fades, and then you're right back to that same yearning that started the whole thing. The car didn't solve it.
Yeah.
Because it's not about something outside you. It's about something that is already within you. And the only way to scratch that itch or whatever it is to become the source of that for others.
Yeah. I got to tell you something real funny, real quick. After I watched The Secret, and I kind of giggled my way through it a little bit. But, you know, to me it was an entertaining movie to watch. But at the end, mm-hmm. I said to my wife, I want some checks in the mail. And so I said, I intend that tomorrow I'll get checks in the mail. So the next day I walk out to the mailbox, and there's three checks. I just laughed. I opened them up, and I got checks in the mail. And, you know, there's a point where you really have to think this through. So I'm like, oh, my gosh, it worked. And, oh, The Secret, and here we go. And then, you know, I thought about it for a second. Well, these are people that owed me money on an advertising contract for a newspaper that we own. And these are people that would have sent the money anyways, right? I mean, it was part of their monthly payment plan, right? And so just think this stuff through, which is why I appreciate this conversation. That's why I appreciate this conversation, because it's so easy to get seduced by this stuff mm-hmm. and go about it in an mm-hmm. unthinking way, and then before we know it, sort of we're trapped in this thing. The main thing is it's a vicious cycle, and it's not fulfilling at all.
Yeah.
You know, you must get a lot of satisfaction in the work that you do then. By the way, it takes a lot of courage to go into a war zone and set up camp and invite people to sing and pray and meditate on peace. I mean, this is not something that it takes a lot of courage, as it took a lot of courage for Gandhi to to resist in a nonviolent way. I mean, he put his life on the line. I mean, this is serious. At the same time, it must be very satisfying to you to enter into that space.
It is, and, you know, I have not done this for a few years, traveling into a situation like this. I've been doing lots of other work, but I stepped back from this for quite a while, because 7 years ago, my wife, Linda, was murdered in Chicago.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
Our daughter, Angela, made me promise that I would never... that I wouldn't do that anymore, because she didn't want to lose both parents. She became very afraid, and I realized that
wow.
that her energy was going to impact me, because I'm going to be going into it, you know, looking over my shoulder rather than just being present. And so I haven't gone to a situation like this for a number of years, but Angela has been to Israel with me, so she kind of knows what that's like. And we talked about this together and decided that this is good. And so it does feel great to me to be doing this, because I really want to do more than sell books or make movies and you know, be famous. It's not about that. It's about how do we bring people together and give them an authentic opportunity to have an impact in the world. And I really believe that something as simple as, you know, having 100,000 people stop what they're doing at a given time and focus their energy of peace on Syria or Iraq is it. And so I'm really satisfied to be doing this and excited. And I just really hope everyone listening to this will go and register for this vigil by just going to my website, jamestwyman.com, and just fill out that little form. We don't send advertisements to anyone on this list. It's not about that either. It's just about having a group of people that we can mobilize at any moment when a world situation comes up, so that we can be a creative solution for peace.
Okay, well, count me in. I am on your list, and I'll be participating in this. And again, give us, James, the dates that you're going, mm-hmm. just so we can know what to expect.
Well, the date for the Syrian vigil will be August 15th. And then we go back to Jerusalem for a couple of days and regroup, and then we go to Egypt, which will be on August 18th. And then we're going to actually be doing a major peace concert in Jerusalem on either the 19th or the 20th. So people just need to go and register so we can send you the email when we know the exact time. And there's also a little course called Quantum Prayer that we've included, so everybody can get the audio for that. And just be prepared so we can all be on the same page. You know, open up our hearts, send that energy to this situation in Syria and Egypt, and step back and watch miracles happen.
I'm with you all the way. And just imagine not 100,000 people, but 500,000, a million,
yep.
5 million, 10 million. Imagine if leadership in various government bodies around the world somehow got involved in this and started sincerely hoping for peace. Because, you know, what you hope for, where you put your energy in, what you put your energy into also determines the options that you see and the possibilities that you see. And we need a whole lot more choices than we presently have. So thanks again, James, for being on the show with us today.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me here again.
You're listening to Mental Health Exposed with Mike Bundrant on National News Radio.
Okay, we're talking about the 10 signs you believe it's wrong to be happy. And this is part 3 of the audio. So in this audio, we are going to discuss signs 5 and 6. We discussed 1 and 2 in the first audio, 3 and 4 in the second, 5 and 6. By the way, this comes from an article that I wrote at the INLPcenter.com. Go on the articles page of that site, and you'll see an article called 10 Signs You Believe It's Wrong to Be Happy. This is such a great article, if I do say so myself, that I'm just going into a little more detail about each of the signs, because I'm convinced that each of us, if you find yourself sabotaging your own happiness, then at some level you have a belief that happiness isn't for you. In fact, it may be more comfortable for you to be miserable. It may be more familiar to you. Happiness may not be what you call home. And if this is the case, then this belief that happiness is not for you needs to change. Now, most people have a hard time reconciling with the fact that we may be carrying around this unconscious belief and unwittingly sabotaging our happiness. And so we have to convince ourselves that this is the case. So thus the 10 signs that you believe it's wrong to be happy. There are clues that this may be going on, because we do harbor beliefs at an unconscious level, and they do affect how we act. So we need to catch ourselves in the act. Sign number 5, then, is that you can't enjoy the moment. Letting go, having fun in the here and now, being present. This is an important way to experience fulfillment, to reduce stress. It's actually a need that we have to engage the moment, to be present with people, to be present in our environment. And in fact, when we do that, when we put our attention external, outside ourselves, and just tune in to our environment, that's really all it takes to be calm, connected, peaceful, and happy. There's really not much more than that going on. And so this is available at any time throughout any day, just about, maybe except when you're sleeping. But at any time, you can tune in to some part of your environment. Feel the chair that you're in. Feel the ground beneath your feet. Feel the earth supporting you. Listen to the wind blowing through the trees. Really tune in and connect to the moment. And within seconds, you start to relax. You start to feel more present. You start to feel more sane. Your mind starts to clear. And suddenly you're able to enjoy. Now, that's just one way to get involved in the moment. There are lots of other moments that some of us shy away from. When people are celebrating. When people are seeking intimacy with us. When we really want to connect with people. Often we do a U-turn and we don't engage in that moment. when we have this sort of unbelievable opportunity at any given time to engage in the moment, and we don't do it, we talk ourselves out of it, we let our mind go on autopilot, we tell ourselves, oh, I don't want to do that, I don't have time for that, then it's a sign that we, at some level, are turning away from happiness, because maybe happiness is not for us. That's sign number 5. Can you enjoy the moment? If you can't, or if you won't, it may be that you believe it's wrong to be happy at some level. Sign number 6. You are attracted to emotionally unavailable or self-centered people. This is a sure way to have your needs not get met. If you attract emotionally unavailable people who are not going to tell you how they feel about you, who are not going to connect with you, people who are not going to reach out to you, extend themselves for you, in spite of you wanting to connect, in spite of you extending yourself for the other person, if you're not in an emotionally reciprocal relationship, in other words, the feelings are mutual, they're being expressed, you're really in it with the other person, and the other person is really in it with you, then you're denying yourself an opportunity to be happy. If you attract people who are basically ignore you, dismiss you, condescend to you, then, and this is who, in other words, I'm not saying that you've had someone like this in your life. I'm saying you attract these people. You choose to be in relationships and stay in relationships with these kinds of people. And you, if you're in a relationship with this kind of person, you are not insisting that it be different. And I know this gets complicated. It's like, well, if I insist that it's different, and then this other person won't agree, and then things are going to go bad, and then, ooh, then I have to get a job and support myself, or I won't have anybody to take care of the house, or, and all of a sudden you've talked yourself out of your need to connect with another person. You've talked yourself out of it. You're still, whether or not it's complicated, and I understand it's complicated, but regardless of that, you're still in the rut. And as you look forward 20, 30, 40 years of life in that rut, it's got to be depressing. And as you look forward to that, you don't see a lot of happiness in relationship to this other person. So, what are your options? Well, you don't have to be in a relationship with this person. Again, I know that's complicated, so don't take that as me ordering you out of a relationship. You can begin to express your needs and insist that this person reach out and extend himself or herself to you and meet your needs and be willing to meet his or her needs. You can stay in the rut. You can find other ways to get your needs met with people who are not emotionally unavailable or self-centered. The point is, if you talk yourself out of doing something about this, then you're talking yourself into long-term emotional deprivation. And it could be that this is a sign that you believe it's wrong to be happy. To be in a relationship with someone who will meet your needs might be very unfamiliar feeling to you. That might be scary. That might be something well beyond the status quo of your life. And you may believe that it's not for you. You may believe that's not possible for you. You may believe this is as good as it gets. And if this is as good as it gets, then happiness is not for you. So, sign 5 and sign 6. You can't enjoy the moment. You're attracted to emotionally unavailable or self-centered people. You attract those people in your life and keep them there without doing anything about it. These are signs that happiness isn't for you at some level. And I'm not saying it's not for you, but it's at some level you believe that happiness is not for you. What do you do about these things? Well, rather than look at yourself first, you've got to square yourself with the fact that at some level you're avoiding and resisting happiness. You've got to figure that one out. You've got to be clear about it. And once you figure that one out, you've got to figure out how to begin to unravel that. So in the least, you're open to being happy. You begin to experiment with it. You begin to experience it. You begin to get used to it. You begin to embrace it. And then eventually, you can live in such a place where happiness is much more of a default. It doesn't mean your life will become perfect. It's just much more available than it is now. So this is the end of this recording on the 10 signs that you believe it's wrong to be happy. Stay tuned for signs 7 through 8 on part 4. Thanks so much for joining me.